The GAA Programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, catering for clubs and schools with customised team wear.
Luke Clark, and the Shock the Show with me, Tom Comack. Always on the Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And we do hope you can stay with us. Another bumper programme lined up for you. Coming up in a while, we'll have Brian McAniff, of course, reflecting on that Donegal Senior Championship final and Kilcar's victory over Naoimh Connell, 7-0, low scoring game, that one. We'll get Brian's thoughts on that one. I know from his column in the Donegal Democrat and People's Press on Monday, not overly enamoured with the Tyle style of play. We'll also be joined, of course, in a moment by Dermot McAleen, from Derry City. Dermot is the chairman of the newest club, GAA club in Derry. That's Coolmore Cuchulainns. That's coming up in a moment. But first of all, just to congratulations to Kilcar on that victory, bridging that 24-year gap since the last one, the Donegal Senior Football Championship. 7-4, that's how it ended. Low-scoring game, just a point each in the second half. 6-3 to Kilcar in the first half. Congratulations also to Naoimh Colum Kill from Newton Cunningham. They're Donegal Junior Champions again following their victory over Red Hughes in O'Donnell Park on Saturday. And well, also congratulations to Omagh St Enda's. They had a narrow 10-8 victory over Airí Gilchearn in the Tyrone Decider in Healy Park on Sunday. That's the second in 4 years for Omagh St Enda's. And of course, they're managed by former Derry manager Paddy Crozier. We'll be talking a little bit later about that as well, and indeed we'll talk about to Brian McAniff about Kilcar and well, their prospects now in Ulster. Of course, they face Scotstown of Monaghan in the quarter final of the Ulster Senior Championship, and Omagh St Enda's go lock horns once again with Sloch Neil, who had that great victory over Kilcoo from Down last Sunday in the preliminary round in Park Eshler in Newry. But tonight, my first guest of the night, I'm glad to say, is Dermot McAleen. He's joining us all the way from Derry City, and Dermot is the new chairman, the first ever chairman, one of the founding members as well of Coolmore Cuchulainns. First of all, Dermot, very good night to you and welcome to the airwaves.
Good evening, Tom. Thank you very much.
And, well, Coolmore Cuchulainns, I suppose the best way to start always any story is at the beginning. How did it come about?
Well, it's going back over a number of years. Myself and my two brothers were born, reared here in Coolmore, our own parish. And we're very passionate GAA fans, supporters, all long-suffering supporters all over the years. I think my earliest memory, to answer your question straight, would be the 1987 Ulster final between Derry and Armagh and Clonus. I can remember sitting on the grassy slope, as it was in those days, and at half-time, a fellow Derry supporter asked me where we were from, and I was only 10 or 11 years of age at the time, and we told him we were from the city, and he says, "But what's your club?" And obviously there was a void, and we drew a blank. And that's something that sticks out in my mind, and something over the years I grew, that I was determined that I would change that. And with all the changes within our parish and the growth and population and new house builds, that's something we strive to deliver there.
Yeah. And tell me, in terms of before Coolmore Cuchulainns, which is only founded in the last... well, in the last few weeks, really, or in the last couple of months, and is an underage club. We'll talk about that in a moment. Traditionally, where would people who did play Gaelic, or if you had played Gaelic or wanted to play Gaelic, where would you...
Well, there's a number of city clubs. There's four city side clubs and two water side clubs, if you like. But it's the games and the natural progression, the population, and the way things have grown, I think a lot of the clubs are now maximised, and with a number of young people becoming involved and looking to become involved in clubs, like, there's nowhere more ripe than our own club here in Coolmore.
And how big is the parish? Because you use the word parish.
Yeah, parish is very important to us. The last census in 2011, the parish came in at just over 4,000, and we estimate from our own statistics there at the minute, it's much more than 5,000.
Yeah, so obviously a big pool of players, a big pool of underage players.
Exactly, like that's in similar to size of many small towns throughout the country, like, and you can that's ever ongoing. There's the construction of 200 homes currently underway that haven't been sold yet, so like it's only going to grow.
Yeah, and have you got many schools, many primary schools, many?
There is two schools within the parish. But one of the things that we found out, we went door to door in our research for this club, and one of the interesting facts that we found out was that up to 500 children currently go to schools within the city, you know, outside our parish. So, like, we're aiming to cater for them as well, as much as the pupils at the two schools that's in Colmore.
And tell me about your committee and who were the founding fathers of the club, along with yourself.
Well, myself and my three brothers are the guys that have talked about it the last number of years, and we held a very informal meeting with the county board to express our views, and they were very encouraged. They were very enlightened that we had our own parish identity, our own parish boundaries, if you like, which wasn't always the case here in the city, and it's very hard to establish in the city, as you can imagine. Then we went out to do our homework or do the groundwork, and that was the research. So obviously, coming from here, we knew the other Gaels within the parish, and we had a couple of collective meetings with them, and we established a committee, and a very hard-working, committee, I may say. And again, we went to the community groups, the political parties. No matter where we went, in fact, we got overwhelming support. And again, we went back to the county board, produced our presentation, and they gave us the green light. You know.
Yeah. So you're up and running in a couple of months, aren't you?
Yeah. We only granted affiliation on the 30th of June earlier this summer, and we had our official launch there. In September, and we have our third training session over. So we're actively training every Saturday now at the local Thornhill College, which is an indoor facility.
Yeah, and are you attracting big numbers?
Yeah, well, the first 2 weeks we were very impressed by our numbers, and we're sitting there at the minute around 35, 36, which considering within 3 weeks we're more than happy with that.
Yeah. And what age group are you catering for at the moment?
Well, right now, in order to have respect for other clubs that children may have been playing for or people participating with, we're aiming for the under 6, under 8 and under 10 age groups, and we want to grow this club from the bottom and create that unity among the children that they know now that they're from this parish and this is their club.
Yeah. And are there many kids and many children from the parish playing out of in those other clubs?
We are aware, and we know that there are other children participating in three different clubs from our research. But, I mean, we're not trying to lure those away. We're more than happy for those to play with those respective clubs. But we're aiming for the people that's coming up, the people coming into these new houses, and the people that will live here in the future.
Yeah. And just for those outside Derry City and say, Inishowen or whatever, where is Colmore in Derry?
Well, Colmore was a suburb of Derry until recently. It's now very much aligned or adjoined to the city. And basically, it's the road between the Foyle Bridge and Muff, and that's where our parish would begin and end, and that's how we have those boundary or parish lines, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and obviously, as you said, it's a growing area, new area, so obviously quite a lot of people from outside Derry coming in to live there and from other parts of the city and other parts of the county and country.
Most definitely. We've witnessed that a lot, and we actually heard that a lot when we were doing our research, you know, and people very excited and interested in becoming part of this new club and being part of the growth of it.
And tell me, Cole Collins, where did the name come from? We know where it came from, but how did you arrive at that?
Well, Cole Collins was a brave Ulster warrior and Irish folklore.
Yeah.
We it married well with our own parish name, Colmore, and we just hope that we can instill that bravery in our children and our teams of the future going forward.
Yeah. Cole Collins was a hurler, wasn't he?
That's right, Willie. He was good at hurling. Yeah, yeah.
Have you hurling as well as football, or is it
not,
just...
Not at the minute, no, but look, there's no reason why in years to come that we can't become a full... cater for hurling and football and other.
And tell me, Dermot, what's the goal? What's the ambition? What's the immediate goal now?
Well, the immediate goal is to keep our training sessions going now weekly until the new year. Next year, we're going to up the ante and introduce a weeknight. And then going forward next summer, we want to be fully participating in Go Games with the children and hopefully have our first summer cull camp.
And tell me, you said that you got a positive response from the county board. What has it been from the other clubs in the city?
Yeah, well, the other clubs have all given us their support. We've met with all of them and talked to all of them before we went about our business, and the response has been really positive. And we hope to interact with those clubs moving forward.
And obviously the objective is eventually to evolve and go up the age groups and develop into a senior club, I presume.
Most definitely. From Little Lake, Mighty Oaks grow from Acorns.
Yeah, and tell me, in terms of playing facilities, you say you hope to maybe field teams next year. Where are you going to play your games?
Well, right now we're lucky enough to have the facilities of Thornhill Grammar School, which is a grammar school in our parish. We've got a full-size pitch and two indoor facilities. But moving forward now, the Derry City and Strabane District Council have just launched a country park, which was a former landfill site in our parish, and it's over 60 acres. And there's going to be the provision there. We're lobbying hard for provision there for Gaelic facilities for the parish.
Yeah.
Until now, any sports provision has been lacking in our community.
Yeah. So, general warm welcome in the club, in the parish?
Well, most definitely, yeah. We're totally blown away with the support that we've received and the people, the numbers that's coming out for us.
Yeah. And you mentioned Dermot, two primary schools. Is there Gaelic in those at the moment?
There is at the minute, yes. There is a presence, and the county board has a coach in both schools, and we hope to be taking players from both of those schools too, moving forward.
And have you got your club colours yet?
Yeah, we do. We are sky blue and white.
Oh, the Dobbs.
Well, they're navy and sky blue, but it's similar, all right.
Yeah. And tell me, just go run through your committee. We give everybody their little night in the sun.
Right. Well, myself as chairman, and my brother Niall as vice chairman. And then we have Donna McSweeney, who is our secretary. And we have Sean Higgerty, who is our treasurer. We have Sean McAleen as the children's officer. And we have Anne McAleen, who's the registrar. And we have Rory O'Kane, PRO, and Alicia O'Kane, who is our Irish language officer.
Yeah. So all hardworking.
Very, very. I think it's a very important thing to have a good committee and have the right people in the right positions, and something that I'm very happy with that we seem to have got right straight away.
And just your own background, you said you were born and reared in Coolmore, but McAleen is probably a South Derry name, is it?
That's right, yeah. My father is originally from Lavey in South Derry there, which would be Gaelic heartland in the County Derry.
Yeah, yeah. And family connections, I know, in Donegal as well. You were mentioning earlier to me.
Yeah, that young Ryan there from Newton Cunningham there is a cousin of mine.
Yeah. A good footballer.
Fair player, good.
Yeah, good. So obviously excited about the future, looking forward to the future, and from what, 1987, it took a while, but you got there.
Exactly. Oh, look, it's a very exciting time for us. We're very happy to date, and we have a lot of vision for the future of the club, and we hope that we can deliver.
And obviously, go games next year, that's the goal, is it?
That's right, definitely.
Yeah. Look at Dermot, it was lovely to have you, and we look forward to maybe talking to you and following your progress, and maybe in years to come, I might be here, but somebody will be here maybe when you're winning championships and something like that, I don't know.
Oh, you'll be there. Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
Indeed, and the best of luck with that. That's Dermot McAleen there from Coolmore in Derry. He's the new chairman, the first chairman of Coo Cullen, that's the new GA club in Coolmore, and certainly given a population of 5,000 and another two houses vacant being built at the moment, there's certainly a lot of clubs quite happy to have that level of population. I know Kilcar won the Donegal Championship, they certainly wouldn't have numbers like that, quite a lot of clubs in Donegal, but certainly it's a bold move at the same time, and it's great to see that the Gaelic football, and I'm sure hurling in time, and ladies football and camogie will develop in the club as well in the city, because as we know Gaelic isn't the strongest in the city, but it's good to see it. And the best of luck to Dermot, and fair play to them for forming the club. There we take a break, and when we come back we'll be joined by Brian McAniff to reflect on that Donegal Senior Football Championship final and Kilcar's first victory in the Senior Championship since 1993. They defeated Niamh Connell of Glenties in a very low scoring game on Sunday in McCool Park, 7-4. That's how it ended. It was 6-3 to Kilcar at half time, and well, both teams got a point in the second half.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, catering for clubs and schools with customised team wear.
Fáilte Rash, Gadhi and Tar coming, Luke Glasgale, and a shock on the show with me, Tom Cormack. Coming up in a moment, we'll be joined by Brian McAniff, of course, looking back and reflecting on that Donegal Senior Championship final on Sunday in McCool Park, won by Kilcar, 7 points to 4, pretty low scoring affair. We'll get Brian's thoughts on that. And just before the break there, we heard from Dermot McAuleen, the chairman of the new fledgling underage football club in Derry City. Good to see it. And it's out in Coolmore. It's called Coolmore Cucullins. And well, they're up and running and hoping to have a Go Games team next year. Quite a big population in that particular neck of the woods in the city of Derry. But as I said, Kilcar bridged a 24-year gap on Sunday with a 0-7 to 0-4. Yeah, that's right. 0-7 to 0-4 victory over Naoimh Connell. 6 points to 3 in favour of Kilcar at half time. The boat scored a point in the second half, and well, it was obviously a low scoring game, but I'm sure they don't mind in Kilcar. But I know, for Brian, from reading your column in the Donegal People's Press and the Donegal Democrat on Monday morning, you weren't overly happy.
No, Tom, I wouldn't have been happy with the game. I don't think anyone there was happy with the game. But first of all, congratulations, Kilcar. They had a long wait, and they're a good club, and they deserve the county title. They're better on the day, but I know there's an awful lot more in them, and I know there will be an awful lot more to be shown when they play Scotstown on Sunday week and Clonus, and hopefully I'll be there to support them. But I will have to say, when you think there's only 2 points scored in the second half, Tom, it's not good, and it's the only good thing was it wasn't on television.
Yeah, but having said that, Brian, and I know maybe we all maybe look at it and say that, but I'm sure if you're from Kilcar, you don't mind tonight or today or Sunday night, you know, as long as they won.
Well, that's what it's all about, Tom. They wanted to win the cup. That they came to Ballymofail last year on that very wet day against Lansbury, and they were caught, I won't say they were caught cold. Lansbury were a good side, but they're better. They could have been better than they were on that day, but they've done the business there, and they deserve their victory, because overall, throughout 60 odd minutes, they were a better team going forward, and better team probably going forward. Plenties are not quite as good as they were, but in saying that, Tom, there's a stage in the second half when the brick kicked the ball from about 35, 40 yards out and hit the upright. Had that gone over and reduced the deficit to a point, God knows where the game could have gone, because Plenty's kicked six wides at that stage, you know, in the second half, and they converted a few more of those, they could have been much closer. But overall, Kilcar were the better side on the day, and deservedly got their prize.
Was it a case of one team went over defensive, or were the two teams set up defensively?
All the two of them set up to defensively, Tom, from very early on. Both of them parked the bus, and you know, that's where it's at. And Kilcar were not going to make any mistakes. And I heard an interview, I think it was Ryan McHugh, but with yourselves on Highland afterwards, saying that they reckoned if they kept the goals out against Glenties, they would beat them, and they did keep the goals out. In fact, I don't think either the goalkeepers were tested there on Sunday, and that was the type of defensive structures were set up by both teams.
Yeah, 6-3 at half time. You would imagine that Kilcar would have kicked on in the second half.
I thought that Kilcar probably would have kicked on the second half, because it was 6-2 and it was only the stroke of half time that Glenties got their third point. But it wasn't. In fact, Glenties opened a wee bit smarter in the second half, but didn't convert anything. And except they kicked a couple of wides at that stage. And then I think it was nearly the 16th minute before the first point was got in the second half, and it was Glenties got that score to reduce it further to 6-4. And then, of course, Ryan McHugh hit a peach of a point from just outside the 45, and it was a score based on the game that was played that deserved to win the match, because it was a clinking score, because he had left a couple of shots short earlier on, which Ryan normally would never do.
There was those that argued as well that the game lacked a little bit of physicality, a little bit of an edge. There was nobody willing to take on a man to go into a tackle.
Well, you see, there wasn't much space to break that. The only person I saw in the first half was Anthony Thompson, came through, and I think it was he that manufactured that last point before half-time when he ran at the defence. But Leo McLoone, any time he burst forward, he was surrounded by at least three people, so he never got the opportunity to get a run at the Kilcar defence as such. But it was very hard, Tom. You know, you were looking for where you could place the ball. But I thought maybe, and it's easy to be wise in hindsight, Tom, that maybe if at a certain stage, maybe with 7-10 minutes to go, that had lent his throwing Leo into the edge of the square, because he shipped a wee bit of a knock early in the second half, and I think it took a wee bit of the steam out of Leo. But I think it put him in full forward and put maybe Brick alongside him. You know, maybe they could have caused a bit of damage by going route one, but that's only speculation, Tom.
Will Niamh Connell have regrets?
Well, I'd say they'll have regrets in the fact that they didn't maybe take the game maybe a wee bit more positively to Kilcar. You know, they were still defensively set up even when the game was going from them and gone from them, because although it was only a three-point game, based on the way it was played and so on, it was a very big lead.
Mm. So you're not happy with the type of football, you're not obviously happy with this defensive play, and it's just well done to Kilcar, Tom. Proud day for the club from a winner's point of view. It's all about winning. Paddy McBrearty lifting the trophies, the homecoming, and top music from Kieran Cannon, a night not to be forgotten in Kilcar. I can well believe that too.
I was speaking to Eugene McHale, who referees here with our club here, although he's based in Sligo, he's a former Mayo footballer. And he went over, he's friendly with some people over there in Kilcar, Hugh Shovler, and he said it was a super night. Now, he doesn't take a drink at all, Eugene, but he came home, he says it must have been 3 or half 3 before he got on. But he said the reception that they got was to be seen to be believed for a club championship match. But that's the nature of Kilcar. They're all football mad down there, Tom, and there's no doubt about that. And they're a great club and have done great work. And are continuing to do great work and deserve their success. But
and it has to be said, both themselves and Niamh Connell put up big scores and put in big displays on their way to the final.
There's no doubt about that. And Tom, we can't get compliments to Niamh Connell. They had their reserve team in the county final as well, and won it against quite a strong St. Junan side, because we played a lot of those teams in reserve football. And I thought that St. Junan side, and it was made up of a lot of younger lads as well, I thought they were unbeatable, to be honest with you, Tom. So it was great credit to Niamh Connell to annex that. And then, be fair about it, Kilcar have a very strong reserve team. So it's great. The future's bright for both clubs, Tom. And they'll be back.
And Kilcar going for the double this weekend. They played on low in the last game of the league.
Well, let's be fair about it, Tom. They're the most consistent team in the county and deserve to win both competitions. But they still have to go to Dunloe, and you know Dunloe as well as I do, Tom. It's not an easy venue to come out of, but I still think they have the capacity, to, in spite of the celebrations, to win the league.
And tell me that you mentioned it earlier. They're playing Scotstown on Sunday week. What's their prospects in Ulster? We see Scotstown run up a big score against Mahara Clune on Sunday in the Monaghan final. They scored 217.
And don't score 217 against Kilcar, I can assure you that, Tom. Kilcar will give them all they want in football. The Kilcar are a very good side. They've been a very consistent side over the last 3-4 years. They've a lot of good talent in the side, and I would be quite optimistic in the big pitch and Clonus that Kilcar can give them the fill of it, and maybe even take a win out of it. And, you know, let's be fair about it, they can deserve a bit of support from the rest of the county by their own club area.
Yeah, and I suppose it's time maybe that a Donegal club did make an impression in Ulster.
Well, we had we had Lensbury in the final there, and going back in time, we had a very good Killybeg side that should have won it, and Four Masters, they give it a good rattle. And if someone else was in it, Tom, there was it Lenties themselves?
Lost across.
So they've been there or thereabouts. They've only got club sides, and I think that there's no reason whatever for Kilcar but to be confident going forward into that game. And Clonus, like Clonus, a great venue.
Yeah,
and it'll suit Kilcar, the open spaces.
I suppose Slough Neil, looking on their performance last week against Kilcoo, are the team to beat in Ulster, are they?
They are, but the last time Slough Neil played Oma, there's only a point in it, Tom. Oma have a lot of good players, and the three McMahon brothers they're playing on it, that they're a good club players as well. Two of them been good county players. And now that they've got out of Tyrone, don't be surprised if Oma gives them more than that fill of it.
Yeah. Anyway, finally, before we let you go, Brian, we give you an opportunity to talk about your big banquet on Friday night. Tell us all about it.
Well, Tom, you know, contrary to what you would imagine, I'm not really involved. The county chairman, Sean Dunyan, asked Philip Madlin, my brother-in-law, who was an assistant county treasurer in 82, to front these activities. That was the All-Ireland weekend and the McGee situation. And great credit again, I must say, over the radio for what McGee's did produce by way of clothing and shorts and shoes and everything for us for our All-Ireland appearance, but which we wore them the Ulster final as well, and they deserve all the support they can get here in Donegal because they're a local firm as well as everything else. But it should make for a very, very good night.
It's a banquet in the Abbey Hotel.
The banquet's in the Abbey Hotel on Friday night, and I'm really looking forward to it, Tom, because God knows when we'll get the side together again. So it's nice to see all the boys and the wives.
Yeah, and I think there are still a few tickets, though. I think there's well over 500 at this stage.
Yeah, that would be very scarce now, but I'd say if you contact Philip McGlynn or Noreen Doherty, there may be a few tickets left. But I know that, as late as yesterday, I know that I think it was Liam Clancy came in and booked two tables, so there won't be too many seats left, I'd say, Tom, by Friday.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's in the Abbey Hotel on Friday night, and it's Donegal.
And it's early too. It's the 25th anniversary, Tom, and they want people in there for about 7:30, 7:45.
Yeah. So, and it's in to honour that, I suppose, that great team that won. And that great manager as well that won that first All-Ireland in 1992. I think they'll always be held, especially in the hearts of most Donegal people.
Well, Tom, it was a very special time, there's no doubt about that, and they were a very special set of boys, and that's reflected in the way they've handled themselves ever since and are still handling themselves. They're a credit to themselves and the clubs of the county.
Brian, unfortunately, the clock is about to beat us, so look, enjoy Friday night.
I want to wish Kilcar the very best on Sunday week in Clonus against Scotstown.
And so do we all. Look at that, Kilcar versus Scotstown of Monaghan in the Ulster quarter final next Sunday. Yes, in Clonus, Sunday week. Of course, they played on low to clinch a league and championship double, a first ever double for Kilcar, despite the fact what it was, won 12 league titles in a great short period of time. That's about it from this week from the GA programme. From Brian McInniff, from Dermot McAuleen, from Jimmy Stafford and Sound, from E. Tom Comack, on her chocolate and Huggins, Slán Agus Bannock.